First, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Hope we're able to continue the thought process we had during the Seder. We're able to see if we can bring it to some fruition. I'm not saying halacha lemaisa, but if people want to have halacha lemaisa questions at the end of this year, we'll privately take questions and answers. This year, after Rabbi Lapiansky speaks, after I will speak, Rabbi Lapiansky will say a few words. There'll be a mincha available for people who like to daven mincha. Mincha, the zman is 12:50, and we're scheduled to finish 12:45, so if people want to stay for mincha, that'll be available. I'd like to say a few thank yous. I mentioned before some, I just want to add some more. Again, I want to thank the Feldman family, the greater Feldman family, for sponsoring this event. L'nishmas Amram Hillel ben Reuven Harav Menachem. And to mention that, as we mentioned before, the Karl is actually named after Amram Hillel. I want to recognize that there's two people which have taken a tremendous responsibility for the Karl over the years. Rabbi Landesman is here. I just want to recognize Rabbi Landesman for all of the efforts that he's done all of the years that the Karl should be able to function, to exist. Thank you, Rabbi Landesman. The other person is Mr. Danny Jacoby. And both of them are here, and it's a tremendous the schus and the honor that I've had working with them and seeing how they did it with aplomb and with a grace and a dignity. Responsibilities, the financial responsibility for the Karlo, I can't thank them enough. I want to thank at this point in time Moshe Chaim Blatz. Moshe Chaim Blatz, this event took a tremendous amount of preparation, tremendous amount of work, and Moshe Chaim carried it with all responsibility, all of the sleepless nights and all those issues. I was able to sleep, Baruch Hashem, because he took responsibility for it. And together with him, I want to mention Rabbi Jacob Goodman, who put together this beautiful packet that you see, the graphics. I was able to figure out maybe what we should learn, but the graphics and all of what you have in front of you was a tremendous amount of effort on his part. It's a very special thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Moshe Chaim. Thank you, Jacob. Last, I just want to mention that I want to thank Shomrei Emunah for providing the sound system, Mr. Mori Rosenberg, and the Shomrei Emunah for providing the sound system. Okay, so the topic today is Shomei Ka'ina, which we mentioned that this is a common topic we use this constantly. What the father says Kiddush, and he's moitzi everybody in the family. The Baal Kari lanes, the person reads the Megillah. You have multiple situations where we use the concept of Shomei Ka'ina. By the fact that I listen, I get credit as if I have said the mitzvah itself without actually doing the mitzvah myself. I'm able to just listen, and that is sufficient. And the question is, where does it come from? How do we know that? How does it work? What are the parameters? What are the limitations? So let's start with the first page four, which is the Gemara. And the Gemara is talking about the fact that the time of Chazal, the way Hallel was said was it was said responsibly, and parts of the Hallel were said by the Chazan, and the Tzibur would respond parts of Hallel. So how do they fulfill the mitzvah of saying all of Hallel if they didn't actually say it? So the Gemara says that we use the principle of Shomei Ka'ina, that even though they did not say all the words of Hallel, some of the words of Hallel were actually said by the Chazan, and the Tzibur would listen. We fulfill those words through the process of Shomei Ka'ina. The Gemara says, where does that come from? So the Chazan would say the words Baruch Abba, and the Tzibur would respond B'Shem Hashem. Mikan l'Shemei Ha'Koina. The fact that even though they didn't say it, they just heard it, that's sufficient. Just listening, is that sufficient? So he answered, Rukhiya Barabba answered, Chakimaya B'Sifraya B'Reshe Amma B'Dershaya Amru. Everybody says Shema V'Loi Ona is Yotza. Listening is sufficient. How do we know this principle of Shomei Ka'ina? Where does it come from? The Ksiv, and it brings Psukim. So let's just the background to the Psukim. It's on the next page. But the background to the Psukim was that Menashe HaMelech was Ovid Avodah Zorah tremendously, and to such an extent that he took the Sefer Torah, which were in Eretz Yisrael. Every Sefer Torah he could get his hands on, he ripped out every name of Hashem in the Sefer Torah and replaced it with the name of Avodah Zorah. At that level of Avodah Zorah, tremendous the chasar and what he did. We're worried about the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, so they hid the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, the Sefer Torah of the Zohar, which was used in the Beis HaMikdash, they hid it. And after Menashe is gone, they don't know where it is. And the Sefer Torah is hidden for over 50 years. Comes the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, and they find the Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah is opened up to the Teichacha, to the pages of the Teichacha and the Sefer Devarim, about that there's going to be tremendous destruction for Klal Yisrael. Chilkiyahu HaKohen finds the Sefer Torah, he sees where it's open, and he sends it to the king, and the scribe of the king, Shaphan, reads the Sefer Torah in front of the king. Obviously the king is very struck by this, that at this moment they find the Sefer Torah open to these pages. What does it mean? And he sends shluchim, he sends messengers to Chulda HaNaviyah. Yirmiyahu HaNavi lived at that time. He was afraid Yirmiyahu would say Nebuah of destruction. He hoped Chulda HaNaviyah was a woman, she might be more compassionate. And she gave back a terrible Nebuah of destruction. And she says that the Sefer Torah that you read, this is what it says, and this is what's going to happen. Now, the problem is that he didn't read it. The problem is that Shaphan, the cipher, read it in front of the king. He only heard it. So the Gemara says, how do we know Shemei Ka'ina? Tichsiv, now the actual girsa of the Pesukim with the parentheses, etc. Let's get the Pesuk right. So it says, as at the Rima Sher Kara, that the Chulda says to a message back to Yoshio, the words that you read, Yoshio didn't read it. His cipher, his scribe, Shaphan, read it to him. The Pasuk says that Shaphan read it to the king. But Chulda refers to it as if he said it. So we see this principle that listening counts like saying it. So Rabbi say, we're going to walk out over here after Shir, and you're all going to say, you said Shir. Right? Shemei Ka'ina. You ever have the experience, you're sitting in Shir, and the Rebbe says, and we said in Shir yesterday. We said in Shir yesterday? The Rebbe said in Shir yesterday. So that's Shemei Ka'ina. We all said in Shir yesterday, right? But Dilma Basra, the Morse says, how do you know? Dilma Basra, the Koran of Shaphan, Kari Yoshio, maybe Shaphan read it first, and then the Pasuk means that Yoshio repeated it. Omer of Achavar Yaakov was Sokol Daita. That's not a possibility to see it, but Yan, she says, and Chulda Nevi'ah continues in her Nevu'ah, and she says that Hashem told him, even though there's destruction, but Yan Rach Levovcha, but Tikon Lefanei Hashem B'Shomacha, but since you responded with the proper response of humility and pain, therefore the raw is not going to happen immediately, it'll happen later. But the Pasuk says, B'shomacha, when you heard it. Well, if you read it, why would it say B'shomacha? It would say B'koracha. B'shomacha b'la B'koracha. So we see that Yoshio did not read it. But even though he did not read it, Chulda is able to say that Yoshio read it, because Shemaya is Ka'ina. Okay, so now just want to point out here in this case, now this was, he read from the Sefer Torah to him, but it wasn't the Mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. They weren't fulfilling the Mitzvah Kriyas HaTorah. They found the Sefer, and they ran to the king and said, look what it says. We're not discussing a Mitzvah situation. Not discussing fulfilling the mitzvah of Ligvon HaTorah or Kriyas HaTorah. They found the Sefer Torah. It was a historical event. It had a message from Hashem. And they're coming to say, listen, this is what Hashem says. That's all it was. It wasn't a mitzvah situation. And we apply the rule of Shemei Ka'ina in that situation. We'll see later on in the packet, the example which discusses, according to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you can't learn Torah before you say Birchas HaTorah. So the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that you're allowed to think and learning before you say Birchas HaTorah. You just can't speak. So the Shari Tshuva there says, what about listening? I'm on my way to shul. I haven't said Birchas HaTorah yet. You already said Birchas HaTorah. You want to tell me a Devar Torah? Am I allowed to listen, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that there's only a halacha of, you can think and learning before the bracha. You just can't speak. Am I allowed to listen to your Devar Torah before I said Birchas HaTorah? And he says no, because Shemei Ka'ina, like the Gemara says. I'm not being moitzi you in the midst of Talmud Torah. You're not being yoitzi in the midst of Talmud Torah by me. I'm listening to your Devar Torah. And that's already a situation of Shemei Ka'ina. Okay, Rashi over here points out, they rely on the cousin to say the words Baruch HaBa. They don't say anything at all. They just listen. If he listens and he's focused, even though he did not make any response at all, he did not say it at all, he did not respond at all, he's Yotze. So Rashi says, a practical application of this, a person's davening. Now one gear says Kedusha or Yehesh Mirabah, so he gets to Kedusha, and I'm still davening Shemon Esrei, or I'm davening Shemon Esrei, and he gets to Kaddish. So what should I do? So yishtuku b'tfilasan v'yishmu b'kavana. You should stop. You should pause and listen to what he's saying, and you'll fulfill the idea of saying kedusha, the idea of saying yeshmir rabba v'harehem ka'arnin. Fine. Ukshigimra kedusha. Once that's finished, yachsu b'tfilasan. They will go back to their tefillah. V'chein yosid v'yadoy goin ba'alachos gedela. So the Bahag says that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pause and listen, and that's an application of shemaya ka'arnin. So Tosfos over here says, "Shama loyonas yotze." Mishen yedei liktois v'lananus im shama b'chivan asibur lishmoya. He doesn't know how to read himself. He doesn't know how even to respond. Avav mishel loyonas yotze. Even he did not make any response at all. He's yotze, and then he quotes the rest of the Rashi. The Rashi says that when you're davening, you should pause and listen to the kaddish and to the kedusha. So you follow the Tosfos in about five lines in. At the end of the line, Tosfos says, "Bakasha, I have a problem." So you're saying a great idea that I can fulfill Kaddish and Kedusha by listening. So there's Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara says you walk in the shul and you walk in late. And if you're going to start Shmon Esrei, you're going to miss Kedusha. Because Oros Hashat, you're going to miss Kedusha. The Gemara says you can't start Shmon Esrei in a way that you're going to miss Kedusha. You walk in late and you're going to miss Kaddish afterwards. The Gemara says you can't start Shmon Esrei in a way that you're going to miss Kaddish. So the Gemara says, Tosfos says, what's the problem? According to Rashi, that you can fulfill it by just listening. I have a great idea. Start Shmon Esrei. And when they get to Kedusha, you'll listen. Start Shmon Esrei. When they get to Kaddish, you'll listen. What's the problem? If this is true, that you can fulfill it by listening, why is the Mora say, Mehodim Rinan, Perak Mishem Esrei? Im Yochel Hastel, Beligmer, Achel Yagia, Shlat, Chifzi, Ber the Kedusha, Yispalel. If you can start and finish before he gets to Kedusha, you should start. Im Lava, Lo Yispalel, don't start. Wait till he finishes Kedusha, and then you'll say, then you'll start Shmon Esrei. Some say you have to wait till after Kedusha, you have to wait until after Moedim. So it's quite a lot. You walk a little bit late. And you know you're not, if you're going to start, you're going to miss Kedusha or miss Moedim. So you can't start. Okay? Well, Omelon Kulihai, what's the problem? You spell a Kedarka, start davening. When you get there, pause. So that was Rashi saying that you should pause. What the Mora seems to say not like that, because the Mora would say you could pause. Why does the Mora use that option? So what are we forced to say? It must be that pausing would be considered an interruption. If Shemaya is Ka'ina, you're not allowed to talk in the middle of Shemon Esrei. The Mora actually has a Havamin in Brachas that you should actually interrupt your Shemon Esrei to answer Kedusha. The Mora says, no, you don't do that. The Mora says, well, maybe you should interrupt your Shemon Esrei to answer Kaddish. The Mora says, you don't do that either. So you don't interrupt Shemon Esrei to answer Kaddish or Kedusha. So this we hold Shemaya is Ka'ina, Tosfos says, so you can't interrupt. You can't listen because that's like talking in the middle of your Shemon Esrei. So you're saying Kaddish and Kedusha in the Shemon Esrei. You can't do that. So that's what we're forced to say. So therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, Tosfos says you don't pause. Tosfos says right now, this step is saying you don't pause. Not like Rashi. So he's not disagreeing with the principle. As a matter of fact, he's taking the principle even further than Rashi. Rashi says that you can pause and listen. It's not considered an interruption. Tosfos says, well, if Shemaya is going to, then it's an interruption. You can't do it. Must be you're not allowed to even actually pause and listen. No, we could argue like this. Shemaya is Kaina. And what was my question? Rashi's right. So what's the worst problem with their brachas? Why do you start? Because it's better to say it. So it's better to say it. So Tosfos seems to be grappling with the one opinion that Shemaya is so much like Aina to the point that if you would interrupt and listen, that's called an interruption in your Shemaya way. So he says, no, possibly not. It's not that level. And therefore, Rashi's right. You would pause and listen. So you're asking me, so what's something more? Why can't you start under the circumstances? Because it's better to actually say it. So I mean, Shemaya is not the same level as Kaina. So we walk away from this Gemara. We walk away that Shemaya Kaina, the principle exists, number one. Number two, that it works even in a non-mitzvah situation. We're not discussing a mitzvah situation. Number three, we see that the Tosfos has a discussion whether Shemaya Kaina is the full level equivalent of Dibra to the point that's considered an interruption in Yerushman Asrei, or possibly not. That's the two opinions in the Tosfos. If you look at page 6, so Tosfos over there basically parallels the Tosfos in Sukkah. This is the Gemara where Tosfos is quoting. And the Mora says you shouldn't start under these circumstances. And Tosfos parallels the Tosfos in Sukkah. And Tosfos over here brings the halakha l'maisa. The Ri and the Rebbeinu Tam say you do not pause. It means the Ri and the Rebbeinu Tam are saying it's the same as Dibur. It would be considered an interruption in your Shmon Esrei. And you cannot pause. Rashi says you pause. The Bahag says you pause. The Ri and the Rebbeinu Tam say you don't pause. Okay? That's what Tosis, whereas Tosis and Sukkah seems to go back and forth, it doesn't give a definitive decision. Tosis over here in Brachas says the real Ben Tam say, if you're going to use that, it will be an interruption. Tosis says, but the minig is like Rashi. The minig is like Rashi that we do pause and we do listen, which seems to be that, again, the Tosis, the real Ben Tam understanding Shemei Ka'ina is the full level of deeper equivalent of actually saying it. So therefore, if you would actually pause and listen, it's like you're talking in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, which you may not do. And Rashi is saying that it's not like that. And well, the minig is like Rashi. So that's what we see on page 6. Okay, on page 7, there's a Gemara in later on in Brachas. And the Gemara is discussing the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Mishnah over there, the Gemara over there is going through multiple arguments between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regards to how do we act in Suda issues, etc. So one of the issues is Havdalah, which is related to Suda because you can't eat without Havdalah. And the question is, what's the proper way to say Borei Marei Ho'esh? Should one person say it for everybody? Should each person say his own Borei Marei Ho'esh? Tanur Rabbanan, Ho'yoshim Rebeis HaMedrash, Habiyo Or Lifneim. They're sitting in Beis HaMedrash, and they bring an Or, it's Motzei Shabbos, and they bring an Or, so should each person say his own Bracha? Each person says his own Borei Marei Ho'esh. Beisila says one person says Borei Marei Ho'esh for everybody. Why? So it's preferred that we should do a mitzvah together as a group. Each person is saying it, even if they'll say it simultaneously, that's multiple individual mitzvahs. We'd rather do it as a group, as a king. It's a glory to Hashem, to the king, when a group comes together in some way to give him glory. So there's Barai Bam Hadras Melech. So Beisila says that one person will say, and everybody will be yotzer by listening to him, that's Raivam. We're all doing the mitzvah together as one unit. As opposed to, if we do it each individually, that's not. Where it says, okay, that's Beis Hillel. What's Beis Shammai then? Why does Beis Shammai say, each person says it himself? Beis Shammai le Beis Hillel, Mefarshi Taima. I understand Beis Hillel explains, Raivam Hadras Melech. Al Beis Shammai, my Taima. Kesavri mibnei bitul Beis HaMedrash. Beis Shammai says, no, but if you're going to do that, everybody's bring in the light, you want to learn. You want it's Motzei Shabbos. They bring in the light, so make your bracha and start learning. And you'll make your bracha, and each person will make their own bracha and start learning. But if we wait till everybody gets quiet, so we can say the bracha, there's going to be an interruption in the learning. It's going to diminish the learning. Okay, now let's think this Gemara through. So this is a situation where Beis Shammai is saying each person is saying it himself, not relying on Shemei Ka'ina. Beis Hillel is saying you're relying on Shemei Ka'ina. Right now, if you understand that Shemei Ka'ina is a weaker dibur. It's not the equivalent of dibur of speech. So the more you introduce that element, we have to discuss the element. What's better? Should you say it yourself? Like Tosfos says, mitzvah min ha-mufkar. It's mitzvah min ha-mufkar to say it yourself, or not to be yotzei with Shemei Ka'ina. So Tosfos says mitzvah min ha-mufkar. It would be to say it yourself, not to rely on Shemei Ka'ina. The more does not introduce that principle at all. The more does not seem to have any issue with that. It means the more is saying in regards to the issue of being Shemei Ka'ina versus actual dibur. There's no question. They're equal. We don't have to discuss that issue. That's not the issue. So the issue is, okay, what's better to do? Is it better to have one person be mitzvah everybody else, relying on Shemei Ka'ina and have Raivaham, but having the chesaron of that we're interrupting the learning? Or, alternatively, it's better each person should say it himself. We'll have more learning. That's the issue. That's the only issue the more raises. The more doesn't raise any issue of Shemei Ka'ina is equal, less than the Dibur of actual Dibur. So it sounds like from the Gemara that Shemei Ka'ina is equal to Dibur. Now, like Tosfos says, mitzvah min ha-mufkar. And that's not an issue at all. The only issue is, what's better, Raivam, etc. There's actually a machlokes later on in the packet between the Oil of Shabbos and the Tosfos Shabbos. Friday night, I want to make Kiddush. Is it better that each person should say their own Kiddush? Minig by many chassidim that each person says their own kiddush. Is it better that one person should be mitzi everybody else? What's better to do? So the other Shabbos says, obviously it's better that each person should say on their own, because Shemei Ka'ina really is a principle of shlichus, and we have a gemara in kedushin beginning the second parak, a mitzvah bo yosu mei b'shlucha. It's better to do it yourself rather than have somebody else be mitzi you. See, it implies that Shemei Ka'ina works based on shlichus. And we have a concept, the mitzvah bo, it's better to do any time you can choice between doing it through a shliach or doing it yourself. It's better you should do it yourself, not through a shliach. So each person should say their own Kiddush Friday night, or, you know, Kiddush Shabbos on Shabbos. Comes the Tosef Shabbos, the Sefer Tosef Shabbos, and he says, No, it's better that one person should save everybody because Rav Am Hadras Melech. He says, I got a Gemara in Brachas and Dafnun Gimel. That's Mamash the question the more in Brachas. Is it better that one individual should save everybody, or each person should save themselves? And Beis Hillel says this idea of Rav Am Hadras Melech, relying on Shemei Kainab, is so important that it'll override Bittul Beis HaMedrash. Now Chazal didn't take Bittul Beis HaMedrash very lightly. So obviously that applied to Friday night by the Suda. If you have an option of one person, we might say everybody else, it's much better, because Rabbi Hadras Melech, they'll take precedence over each individual person doing it himself. And then furthermore, how can you apply the rule of Mitzvah Yotzei Mishluchai by Shemei Kohen? Because Shemei Kohen is not Shlichus, it's you listening. You're doing it yourself. So he says the principle of Mitzvah Yotzei Mishluchai, it's better to do it yourself rather than use a Shliach. He's not a Shliach for you, you're doing it yourself. So that's the point we're going to have to come back and discuss about that. But you see from this Gemara that he says, yeah, I have a Gemara in Brachas that would be preferred to do like that. I'm not telling you, Lech Lemaise, to do whatever your minig is. Okay. The next page, on page 8, the Rambam seems to, yes, differentiate between the two. So we're starting with Tosfos says in one pshat that maybe they're equal, maybe it's less. Rashi seems to say it's not really an interruption. We have a Gemara in Brachos that says that it's equal. The Tosfos Shabbos actually quotes this Gemara to say that it's equal. The Rambam in the Hilchos Brachos calls Shemei Bracha mina Brachos mitkilosa b'tzav. You hear Bracha by somebody else when it's kavan lotzis ba yidei chavasa and you have intent to be yotze with it yotze. You're supposed to answer Amen, but he didn't answer Amen for whatever reason. He forgot to answer Amen. You're still Yotze because you heard the words of the bracha. Shemei Kaino. You're Yotze. And the Rambam seems to add another layer. But if you actually say Amen, that's the same thing as saying a bracha. Well, what was before? Shemei Kaino is also like saying a bracha. The Rambam seems to say that Shemei Kaino, you're Yotze with Shemei Kaino, but to consider it as if you made the bracha, you need an Amen. When I was the Rambam translate the word Amen, that means, yes, it is true what you just said, that Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam B'Rei Pi Hagafen. That's the correct translation of the, you open up your Merriam-Webster dictionary under the word Amen, and the translation of Amen is, yes, it is true that you what you just said, that Hashem is blessed because he was B'Rei Pi Hagafen. That's what the word means. Oh, so you said a bracha. That's the equivalent of actually saying a bracha, by saying Amen. But if you don't say Amen, you're Yotze, but it's not the same thing as saying the bracha. And the Rambam seems to continue like that, at the end of the Rambam, seems to continue like that, and the Kesef Mishnah grapples with such a possibility. Is that correct shot in the Rambam or not? So the loch is, I'm sorry, I skipped. But you have to hear it from somebody. So if I'm hearing it from somebody, and that's like I said it, so what the other person is doing is really irrelevant. Whether he's just, you know, not chayv in the bracha or not, what's the difference? He says, no, it has to be that you heard a bracha. A bracha means that you're hearing from somebody who's chayv in a bracha. So he is chayv in a bracha. So I'm hearing it from somebody who's chayv in a bracha. It's called, it has a shame of being, I'm hearing a bracha. Then we can apply the concept of Shemei Ka'ona. I once asked my Rebbe, based on that Shari Tshuva, that in Hilchos Birchas HaTorah, can I turn on a tape in the car on my way to shul? I didn't say Birchas HaTorah yet. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, I'm allowed to think in learning before I say Birchas HaTorah. I can't speak in learning beforehand. I can't listen to you tell me a Devar Torah, Shemei Ka'ona. Can I listen to a tape? Can I listen to a recording? Right? So Rama says, it's only has a shame that you're hearing, what you're hearing is called a Baracha, the person's Chayv in a Baracha. So is that only by a case of a Baracha? What about a case of Liman HaTorah? What about that situation or not? So that's what I asked him, and he felt that it doesn't apply to a tape. Wouldn't apply to a tape. Okay. If the person who's saying the bracha is only chayv derabanan, and I'm chayv deraisa, the Rambam, how can I be yotze with him? I can only do it if the person is chayv, I'm hearing from his chayv deraisa. But the Rambam seems to say loshon achiyana, which is like the simple reading of the Rambam. If you say amen, yana meaning over here, responding and saying amen. I said before, that's different than just listening. Listening is listening. Saying amen is a whole different ballgame. That's what the Rambam seems to say. The Kesef Mishnah says it's a snapshot in the Rambam. But it definitely is what they're arguing, the card, that that's what the Rambam is saying. So saying amen is a whole other layer. But Shemei Karn is not the same as saying the bracha itself. Okay. On page 9, I don't want to get involved in all of it. We have a limited time over here. But on page 9, let's touch on the outside. The Gemara introduces a concept of an argument to the Gemara whether here is Kedibur or here is Lav Kedibur. We pass in Shulchan Aruch passes here Lav Kedibur. Just thinking is not equivalent to saying. So that means if I have any mitzvah which the Torah requires speech, Kriya Shema, benching, any mitzvah which the Chalmim requires speech, I have to actually verbalize it. I have to actually vocalize it. I can't just think the bracha. I can't just look at the page. I have to actually say the words. How loud do I have to be? That's a discussion. No matter how loud you have to be, does it have to be loud enough that I can hear? That's the next separate next layer of the discussion. But I have to actually vote. We paskin, here is Lav Kedibur. Thinking it is not sufficient. But the Gemara brings an opinion that says, here is Kedibur. Thinking the bracha, thinking Shema, thinking Shemon Esrei, just thinking it is sufficient. Here is Kedibur. And the Gemara wants to apply it to the discussion of the halacha, which existed as Man Chazal, that a person who was Tomei through a process of Keri, a certain type of Tumah, was not allowed to learn Torah. But the Mishnah says, even though he wasn't allowed to learn Torah, he wasn't allowed to say Brachas Shema, he would be Mahara, he would think Shema. The Gemara says, what's that about? Well, what do you mean Mahara Shema? What's that about? So the Gemara says, well, because here is Kedibur, it's like thinking, it's like you said it. So you fulfill the mitzvah of saying Shema by thinking. The Gemara says, well, if that means, what are you saying? But he's not allowed to say words of Torah. And here is Kedibur, you shouldn't be allowed to do that. The Gemara says, you must be telling me there's a special leniency for Shema. So then say it already. Right? If that's what you're telling me that even though you cannot, Balkari can't say brachas, he can think Shema, because here is Kedibur, so he can think Shema. So just say it already. The Gemara says, yeah, but the parallel, what the Chachamim took their parallel from was Har Sinai. In Har Sinai, everybody had to be Torah. There was no Balkari there, but Har Sinai. And because, what? Well, what was happening by Har Sinai? It wasn't here. It was Dibur. So the Chachamim made the Issur. They only made the Issur parallel to Har Sinai. Tosfos says, what was the Dibur by Har Sinai? What did Klal Yisrael do? They listened. So by Har Sinai, it wasn't just thinking, it was listening. And listening is not thinking. So Tosfos applies Shemei Ka'ayna to HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying the Sefer Dibros to Klal Yisrael. Now I once tried to argue to a Rebbe, he says maybe like, you know, it's not a person, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like a tape recorder, like, you know, he didn't like it, he didn't like the Sefer Shtel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tape recorder, he didn't like that. It's not a Baruch Yuvah, the Bershom isn't Chayiv in Mitzvahs, so, you know, but he didn't like the Sefer Shtel. But again, it wasn't a situation where the Bershom was being Moiti Klal Yisrael. It wasn't a situation of a mitzvah. Klal Yisrael was hearing Sefer Dibros. They were listening to Sefer Dibros. It's called, they said a Sefer Dibros. Again, according to that, Rabbi Sai, you said a good shir today, hopefully. Okay. Maybe not. We'll see. Okay. Now, if you go to page 10 and 11, that's why I told you have to come up to me and ask me that there's a stira. So, it's nothing to do with mitzvah, it's nothing to do with anybody, nothing to do with kavanah. The Russian didn't have kavanah to be moitzi klal yisrael, klal yisrael didn't have kavanah to be yotzei, where the Kadosh Baruch was deeper. There was no mitzvah involved. Yeshayahu wasn't being yotzei the mitzvah. Shaphan wasn't being moitzi him. There was no kavanah involved. And I get to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara says, Amar Rebbe Zeira l'shamoyeh. Rebbe Zeira said to his shamish, Ichaben mitzkali, I want you to have kavanah when you blow the shofar for me. Salmak Sabra Mashmiya boy Kavana, the person who's making the sound has to have intent to be moitzi the other person. Rashi says Ichaben Tzkali, the top Rashi on page 11. Hiskaven litkar bishmi, lahoitzi any day chavasi. Have me in mind when you do the mitzvah. Have in mind to be moitzi me with the mitzvah. Samura says, Mesway, Hoya Oivrachri Besa Knesses, he was walking behind the shul, Shahi Besa, some of the Besa Knesses, he was near the shul, Bishama Kol Shafer, he heard the Shafer, a Ko Megillah, he heard the person reading the Megillah, and Kivan Libo Yotzev, he had come on to be Yotzev, he's Yotzev, Vim Lab, Lo Yotzev. And he's not, otherwise he's not Yotzev. Samura says, Kivan Libo, my hobby, but he has Kavana, but the person inside the shul doesn't know I exist, so he's not being right to me. So if you tell me he has to have come to be right to me, where's the Kavana? Morris says, "My hobby, Heichlo Komachaben Adai to the day. He's not thinking about me. So you see, as long as I think, that's good enough." Morris says, "No, the case was a Sheikh Sibur, which his intent is a Kuliyama. Whoever's out there to listen." So the Morris says, "That's called Mashmiya by Kavana." Zakrashi Mashmiya by Kavana. Lahotzi Yashemaya. So the Mashmiya has to have Kavana to be Moitzi the Shemaya. Now, Pasha, this Gemara is talking about the concept of Shemaya Ka'ina, and the Morris says requires Kavana. I mean, Shemei Ka'ana, that means we would read the Gemara without thinking, And we're all used to the idea by Kiddush, you have to have a Kohanim Yotze, he has to have a Kohanim Yotze you. Where does that come from? That sounds like that's an integral part of Shemekah. That I can be able to use your Dibur, listening to it, is only if you have Kohanim to me, give it to me, and I have Kohanim to take it from you. So that's an integral part of Shemekah Aina, is the Kabbalah part. And that's what the Gemara over here says. But we have two Gemaras which say that not like. We have a Gemara that says not like that. And we have the Tosis who understands the Gemara and Brachas, that there's no requirement of Kabbalah for Shemekah Aina to work. Shemekah Aina is automatic, without any Kabbalah. I have a more in Rosh Hashanah that says Shemei Kana needs Kabbalah. So which one is it? Now, if you're listening to the nuances of the Gemara, you'll hear that the case was Kiyas Shofar. The Kiyas Shofar really is an interesting case because it's not Shemei Kana. It's not him making, I mean, he's making the sound, I'm listening to the sound. That's not your average case of Shemei Kana. Shemei Kana is that I say a Dibur and you're using my Dibur. Right? Over here, we're all hearing the sound of the shofar together. The mitzvah isn't blowing the shofar, the mitzvah is hearing the shofar, and we're all hearing the shofar equally. So maybe this kavanah might indicate to us that this kavanah is something else other than Shemei Ka'ayna. But the more that applies to Megillah, where there it is, a case of Shemei Ka'ayna. And the more it says there's a requirement of kavanah. Okay, so the Ran, in the context of a discussion in the earlier Gemara, the Gemara introduces the concept of mitzvah sichas kavanah. When you do a mitzvah, must you have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah? No fancy, holy, Kabbalistic incantations, just two words. L'shem mitzvah. I'm doing this because Hashem commanded me. That's all I have to. Is that required? I'm doing this mitzvah because Hashem commanded me. And if I don't do that, is that a valid mitzvah? Maybe a mitzvah is only called a mitzvah. It's only called, I'm doing a command. What I'm aware of, I'm thinking about the fact that there's a commander, and I'm commanded. Then it's called, I did a mitzvah, I did a command. But I'm doing it. I don't even think why I'm doing it, what's it all about. I just did it. Is that called a mitzvah? It might be reading a book, but is it called Hashem's mitzvah? Is it called, you fulfill the mitzvah or not? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara, mitzvah shrichos kavanah, or mitzvah zayin shrichos kavanah. If you hold mitzvah shrichos kavanah without doing the mitzvah with intent to fulfill the mitzvah, you don't get the credit for the mitzvah. You get credit for doing a nice thing. But it's not called the mitzvah, because the mitzvah implies a command, which means you're aware of a commander and that you're commanded. The Malam Adama says, no, you did a mitzvah. You did the ma'isa. The ma'isa is done properly and with a proper intent. You know, you did it properly, all the details that you need to do. That's good enough. So that's the previous Gemara. The Gemara comes out, the Rava says, mitzvahs ain't shichas kavanah. Now, we actually pass the mitzvahs shichas kavanah by the Raisa, so I don't want to get involved in that right now. So the Gemara says, and then Rav Zera says, have kavanah. What's going on over here? So the Ran says, we have a problem. So the Ran understands in the context of Gemara that the issue of kavanah over here is not because of Shemei Ka'anah. Shemei Ka'anah doesn't require kavanah. Shemei Ka'anah, okay, had a Gemara in Sukkah. Shemei Ka'anah is automatic. So what's this kavanah about? That's because of mitzvahs shichas kavanah. Then he says maybe not, but maybe the Shemei Kana needs Kabbana for Shemei Kana to work. And that seems that's the two approaches here in the Ran. Let's go back. So if you understand that either way, if you understand that you need Kabbana for Shemei Kana to work, we'll have to answer the Gemara and Sukkah, but what does that mean? It means there's some process of the Mashmiya is giving me the Dibur by having intent to give it to me. And there's some process of me, I get the Dibur because I'm having Kabbana to take the Dibur to myself. If you hold that's not the point. The Gemara here is really discussing a separate issue totally. I mean, Shemei Kana is automatic. By listening alone, I get it. So it really gives us two different windows into Shemei Kana. One is that it's automatic. The process of listening, the power of listening, just by listening, I get what you said. That's the power of listening. Right? The other one's saying, no, I actually take the Dibur to myself. I actually take your Dibur through a process of you intending to give me the Dibur, and I intending to take the Dibur. That's two totally different ways of understanding Shemei Ka'anah. Okay, the next two pages, I'm not going to do inside. The Beis Levi asks the following question. So let's say you have a situation like this. So you have two Kohanim going up to Duchen. One of them, his name is Ethan Cassidy, has a beautiful voice. Okay, the other guy's name is Shemir Nameless, and he doesn't have a beautiful voice. Okay, so he says, I have a great idea, Shemei Ka'ayna. So I'll listen to Eitan say Birchus Kahanim. It's like I said it. So I will fulfill my mitzvah of giving a bracha to Klal Yisrael, Birchus Kahanim, by listening to Eitan. Great. And everybody will enjoy that fact also. It'll be much more pleasant to their ears if I do as such. Can I do that or not? Can I use Shemei Ka'ayna to listen, the Kayan number one, can listen to Kayan number two, and fulfill his mitzvah, Birchas Kahanim, by listening? Because if listening is like speaking, it's like both Kahanim spoke. The Eitan spoke, and other Kahanim, through listening, also spoke. Does that work or not? The Beis Halevi says it works, but not really. Because there's a halacha by Berachas Kohanim, it has to be said out loud. Kol Rom. It says, Amor Lehem, you must say it to the Kohanim. You're still, that's where the Kohanim are supposed to say it loudly. So, Shmei Kohanim works, but it's quiet. Because it works through Shmei, through listening. Listening is very quiet. I'm not using your Dibur, I'm just listening. Okay, that's one of the approaches that we had in Shemaiah Kohanim, was just the process of listening. It means the power of listening is equivalent to speech. That's really what we're walking away with. We thought speech means speech. You know what? If I listen to something and I listen to it well, it's like I said it. It has the same equivalent power. But I didn't say it loudly. So I can't be Yotzei Birchas Kohanim in such a situation. The Chazanish on the next page says, can't be. Because if you're saying that I don't actually take all of the elements of your Dibur to myself, your Dibur, Ethan was screaming it very loudly, or he wasn't screaming, he was singing it very loudly in beautiful, pleasant voice. And if I can't take that element of the Dibur, of the loudness, to myself, so how do I hear some Megillah? I don't have a Megillah in front of me. The Baal Kari is letting from the Megillah. He's letting from a cloth. I'm not reading from a cloth. I'm just listening. Well, listening is like speech. So I'm listening. I'm listening by my seat. And I'm not from a cloth. The Kiddush has to be said in a cup. So the Makadosh is holding the cup, and I'm listening to the Makadosh. I don't have a cup. So how do my yards say? So it must be that I actually take his speech to myself. I can actually take his speech and bring it to myself. So that's true. His speech was loud. So our idea might be a great idea for some Kohanim who don't have great voices, or some Tziburim who don't like listening to the Kohanim who don't have great voices. We can suggest this. According to Chazon Ish, we have this approach how to address their Birchus Kohanim issue. All right, so that's the Chazon Ish, the plug is in the Chazon Ish and the Beis Halevi. But we're really seeing what we saw before, that before the Beis Halevi and the Chazon Ish, we're grappling with this already way back when in the Ran. This is really, it seems to be the two arguments in the Ran. Okay, so one of the issues which I think we need to touch on, if you go further in the packet, is Shemaiah Kohanim the equivalent of Dibur, actual Dibur. So let's argue. According to the Chazon Ish, that the Kiddush of Shemaiah Kohanim is I can actually connect to your Dibur. Is that shlichus? I wouldn't argue that's shlichus. It's not shlichus. I have the power to connect to your Dibur. Shlichus is I point you to shlichus, I go to sleep, and you do something for me. Over here, I'm not doing that. I'm actually listening. But it's not just just listening which is what's happening. Because then you could argue, well, listening is not the same thing as speaking. It works, but it's a lower level. But the Chazon Ish's argument is I connect into your Dibur. So do we look at the two as being equal? So we already touched on this, the Gemara and Brachos and Afton Gimel. So this seems to be a Machlokes Rishonim. See, on page 16, I'm not going to read it inside, the Miri says that Shemaiah Kohanim is not the same thing as actual Dibur. It's Bidiyavit. The Chachila, you should say it on your own. The Rashi on page 17 says Shemaiah is Kohanim, it's Chachila. So we have a Machlokes in the Rashi and the Miri whether Shemaiah Kohanim is the Chachila or Bidiyavit. On page 18, there's a fascinating argument over here from Yaakov Emden, the Shilas Yaivitz. He says, let's explain the chaf. There's actually a Ben of Achai and Chumash who talks about this also. When you say ke, it's like. What does like mean? It's totally equivalent, or it's like? Right? So the Rashi was saying it's equivalent to chavchilas. It's exactly the same thing as speech. The Shilas Yaivitz says, no, the usage of it in Chazal, of the chaf adimyon, comparing something, saying this is like that, means that's much better, and this is like that. It's only like that. It's not actually the same thing. So Shemaiah Kohanim means it's not the same. It's not as strong as. The Shagas Aryeh then seems to say that it's the Chachilo. The Chachilo, Shemaiah Kohanim, Dami, there's no problem with Shemaiah Kohanim. He raises the question, let's say the person who's listening can't speak himself. So if it's some way that I appropriate your speech, maybe you could argue, if I can't speak, I can't appropriate your speech. He says, no. I'm actually totally using your speech, and your speech is loud, even though I'm an Elam, even though Chas V'Shalom, the person is a mute and he can't speak, but I could use your Dibur, and your Dibur is proper, etc. So there's nothing wrong with the Chachila of using Shemaiah Kohanim. And I mentioned the Erev Shabbos and the Tosfos Shabbos, that's on page 20 and 21. They have this argument, what's better, should I use Shemaiah Kohanim to be Kiddush for myself or not? Should I make my own Kiddush or should I not? So that Erev Shabbos says each person should make their own Kiddush. Tosfos Shabbos says no. Because it's not shlichus, it's not somebody else being mitzvah to you, it's you saying it yourself. So again, we have this argument. I want to introduce, if you turn to page 24, a fascinating letter over here from Rav Moshe Shapiro Shlita. So there's a sefer called Afike Mayim, which is put out by his Talmud, a person who heard a shiurim, Rabbi Reuben Schmelzer. And he's in this letter, which he prints in the first volume of Afike Mayim, he asks his Rebbe Rishus, to print the shiurim. So the Rebbe responded in the following. He says, okay, now you ask after Rishus for two reasons. First of all, that what you're saying is correct. And that I have no problem with what you're saying is correct. I know you. You know, you understand the shiurim well. You present it well. I have no problem with that. What's the problem? It's my divrei Torah. It's my divrei Torah. So how can you publish my divrei Torah? They belong to me. He said, you have a mistake. That's not how divrei Torah work. Divrei Torah doesn't mean that I say words. And sometimes you sit in a shiur. You know, we know that the concept called sound waves. So there's physical waves also. Sometimes a person goes swimming and there's waves flowing over him. So sometimes there's sound flowing over you. But that's not listening to a shiur, right? Right? That's just sound waves flowing over you. The goal is that I actually communicate and I put something inside of your head. Remember our picture on the front of the packet is my words come out of my head, out of my mouth, and they go into your head. Right? That's the picture. Right? So the power of Deber is only called Deber, he says, when there's two parties. So the famous question, when a tree falls in a forest, does it make a sound? The answer is yes. When a person speaks in a forest, did he speak? The answer is no. That's not Deber. Deber is only when there's two parties. I'm communicating a thought to you. So sometimes there's a Deber Torah myself. The more Misha talks about a novice, I'm saying it to myself. So that's also, it's going out of me, back into me. That's also an act of Deber. But there has to be a Shemaya to have a din of Deber Torah. So he says, it comes out, when I said Shir, if you wouldn't be there to listen, there'd be no Deber Torah. It comes out, we really own the Deber Torah together. Without you, it wouldn't be called Deber Torah. So you own it as much as I do. Of course you can publish it. That's what he writes in the letter. And I have to say, my comment is, that was worth the whole sefer for this letter. Right? There's that thought, that the Yesod of Shemaya, and he said, that's Pshat in Shemaya Ka'ayna. This is a morale. Morale seems to say this is right. But he says that this idea of Shemei Ka'ayin means that the idea of Shemei Ka'ayin is we become partners in an act of Deber. So there's no shlichus. It's not you being mitzi me. We are partners together in the act of Deber. That being said, you look at page 25 and the Rabban says that Shemei Ka'ayin uses shlichus. Okay, so he's arguing in our Rabban, but you know. And Prima Gadam on page 26 says Shemei Ka'ayin uses shlichus. Okay, let's just quickly we're running at the end of our time. So let's say you're talking to me and I don't understand what you're saying. Would that be Shemei Ka'ayin? So I'm listening to benching. You have a situation. You have a non-firm relative. He comes in. He's not really interested in saying a mitzi before you, but you don't want to give him food without saying a bracha. Say, listen to me. I'm going to say the bracha of hamotzi, and you just listen to the words. I don't know what he's saying. I don't understand Hebrew. Just listen, and that's good enough. Shemaya ka'ayna. Does that work or not? So the Mesheshah actually brings in a machloikus between Rashi. This is on page. It's on page 31. He brings a machloikus. Rashi says it works. That's sufficient for Shemei Ka'ayin. And he brings that there's another opinion that doesn't work. And Shulchan Aruch actually paskins that the Shulchan Aruch paskins it only works if the other person actually understands what you're saying. He can't read Hebrew himself, but he understands what's being said. If he doesn't understand at all, he's not going to be Yotze. Then the Magen Avraham and the Taz both say, well, Rashi says, not like that. We're Samech on Rashi, he says. So Mishabura discusses, okay, I might see my wife in Kiddush. In Europe, historically, the women, some of them were quite unlearned. I mean, what's them in Kiddush? They don't understand Kiddush. What should you do? According to Shulchan Aruch, they should say the words along with you. According to Rashi, you'd be Yotze. So let's think. So is that true that you need to have understanding to be able to do Shemei Ka'ayin? So if it's a shutvis, it's the idea that I'm communicating to you, obviously you'd have to understand it. To understand that, how could it work? Right? So apparently Rashi is not learning like that. If it's shlichus, so shlichus, you know, you gave me a job and I did it for you. So I'm fulfilling the deber that you need to do, I'm fulfilling. Now, it's not a regular shlichus because of multiple reasons, but that's, let's say it's the power of listening. It's not shutvis, it's just because our understanding, based on the psukim, that listening is a very strong thing, and it's equivalent of deber. We could argue that would make a lot of sense. It only makes sense if you understand what you're hearing. You know, otherwise, it's just sound waves flying at you. Why should that be sufficient? So those are some of the examples of this machlokes of how to understand Shemei Ka'ayin. Again, I'm not going to give a final decision. But if you look on page 32, the end notes, so we bring out there's three different ways to understand what it is, and we bring four different applications of it, and we go through each one, whether it would be considered, how we would apply it or not. We could argue by whether kavanah would be required, whether understanding would be required. If it's shlichus, it should work without the other person understanding. If it's shutvus, it would require you to understand. Power of listening would require you to understand. So just to close, again, so people have practical questions, Allah Lamaisa, we'll talk, you can ask me afterwards. But it's a concept which we use constantly, and it really probes in our minds this power of listening. It's a tremendous thing. Just want to close with a quick mimer. I got it, I'm sure Brian will say more. That the Gemara in Sotah says that when they go out to Mechama, the Kohen says to them, Shema Yisrael. So the Gemara says in Sotah that he tells them, even if you just have in your hands one schus, you've done nothing right in all of your life, but you said Shema Yisrael, because all you've done, you'll be saved. Now, what is Shema Yisrael? Why is it so important? So, because Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the Gemara really should say, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why is the Gemara focused on the word Shema Yisrael? And the Pasuk says Shema Yisrael. So apparently what we're saying is that the Klai Yisrael has the ability to listen. That's what is unique about Klai Yisrael. We have the ability to actually hear what the other person is saying. We're actually hearing properly. When you actually hear properly, that's a tremendous power of Shmia, which we're talking about. So Klai Yisrael has the ability to actually listen. Rosh says, you know what? Not too many people out there actually know how to listen. And since you know how to listen, it's worthwhile that I should save you. Rosh, I thank you for listening. Actually, now Rabbi Lapayansky is going to share a few words.